Fans, it's great to have you back with us on this Sunday as we get ready for Giants baseball. What a pleasure to bring Dave Jordan in. And Dave is a writer and filmmaker living in New Jersey. We've had him on the show before. He founded InStream Sports, the first athlete author writing platform. He's written for the Sporting News, SB Nation, and the Hardball Times, and he's the co-author of a book I really enjoyed with John DeAquisto of Fastball John. He has co-authored with Dave Parker a book, Cobra, and that was the nickname of Dave Parker, and we'll talk about him in a second. It's a life of baseball and brotherhood. For the fans who don't remember Dave Parker, let me just give you a little bit about him. Former National League Most Valuable Player and two-time batting champion, 2,712 hits, 339 home runs. He played 19 seasons in the big leagues, was a seven-time All-Star, won three Gold Gloves and three Silver Slugger Awards. He was the 1979 All-Star MVP, which is so appropriate this time of year. The throw he made in the All-Star game, I'll never forget. He played on two World Series championship teams, the 79 Pirates, and, of course, the Oakland Athletics in the late 80s. He was the first million-dollar-per-year ball player at a time when baseball was not yet a billion-dollar sport. He lives in Ohio, where he's created the Dave Parker 39 Foundation, an organization focused on finding a cure for Parkinson's disease, which unfortunately Dave has now. But the book is wonderful, and we welcome Dave Jordan to the show. Dave, how are you?
Marty, thanks for having me. Always great to be with you guys.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you on. And, of course, talking a lot about Dave Parker and Cobra, the nickname. How did you get involved with this project? Why Dave Parker for you?
Well, you know, speaking of Fastball John, about a year after the release of that book, the Johnny DeAquisto autobiography, Johnny and I had just gotten home from an event in Cooperstown celebrating that book when I had a chat with a friend of mine who was also close with Parker. And he told me Dave was trying to get a project off the ground, and he had gone through like three sets of writers over 10, 11 years. And, you know, he basically asked me if I would have a conversation with him. You know, when baseball fans of a certain age hear his name, it's like, ooh, the Cobra. You know, that must have been a wild ride. And my buddy basically said that he talked to Parker and said, look, I've read Fastball John. Nobody knows who this Jordan guy is, but he can get your story done. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation went there with Parker. And basically, for three, 4 months, all we did was talk about the NFL because, you know, reading Cobra, you'll see how much he loves and identifies with football. I mean, to this day, he still considers himself a football player who's really good at baseball. And we chatted about football every Sunday. It was, you know, breakfast with the Cobra from 11 to 11:30. That was my pregame for my Sunday football, or my football Sunday. And after the Super Bowl, Parker just said, all right, fine, let's just do an article, and then we'll see how this goes. What do you want to write about? And I basically said, you know, let's talk about the politics of right field at Pirates training camp 1973 in the wake of Clemente's passing. And he said, I know all about that. And that's we went off from there.
Boy, great story. Great beginning. Cobra is the name of the book, and I really highly recommend it. It's an easy baseball read, and the stories that Dave Parker relates here to Dave Jordan come across on the pages. They just jump out at you. It's like you're sitting in the dugout talking with them. And I don't always get that feeling when I read one of these baseball books. But you mentioned that his original dream was to play football. I guess what, Ohio State was his team as a running back?
He wanted to. At one point, at the beginning of senior year, Dave Parker was considered the best tailback prospect in Cincinnati, in the whole city. He was considered the top prospect. And he had a lot of colleges looking at him. You know, dozens of schools had sent in notices. And in his first game, you know, the third carry, he scored a 30-yard touchdown. On the fifth carry, he blew out his knee.
Mm. Boy, that's a lot of kids in high school don't play football for that reason. But he grew up in Cincinnati, and he was a kid who was a great athlete. Obviously, we see him in the major league field, what he accomplished in his career. But really, as a 10th grader, he had a shot at actually trying out for the Reds.
Yeah, he went with a buddy of his for an open tryout, and he remembered that there were a number of ball players milling around, including Pete Rose. And he had the batting practice in addition to his throwing behind the plate. He was originally a catcher in high school. And he had such a prodigious, you know, batting practice tryout for the Reds that they basically offered him a contract. He said, I can't sign anything. I'm in 10th grade.
Funny. That's a good one. I like that. Hey, the Pirates. It was a family first team. It was open-minded. It was We Are Family. And I guess it goes back to Willie Stargell and Roberto Clemente, and Parker really connected with both of them. Tell us about that connection as it's told the story in the book.
Well, I'll tell you where I believe after doing, you know, all the research and the reading and talking with Parker and a number of his teammates, where the family aspect began. It began at Pirate City in Bradenton, Florida. The Pittsburgh Pirates established this facility in the late 1960s, where it was very much like Dodger Town. And you may remember all the Pirate players, they ate together, they slept together, unless you were married. All the single Pirate players and the rookies and prospects slept under the same roof. It was basically one side of a all-star baseball facility, and the other side was a three-star Holiday Inn, all thrown together. So these guys, they ate together, they slept together, they hung out, they ran around Bradenton together. That they were the family before 1979's family was created.
You said there is a connection with Dave Parker and Clemente. What was that connection?
That connection was basically that the organization had been told by one specific person that this is the guy. And they were told that they were not to touch his swing at all. And basically in 1971, Parker was conducting batting practice at spring training. He was an invitee to spring training, and he was just whapping the ball, and you could hear the chain link fence hitting from the dugout in straightaway center field. And when he was done, he went and sat back down, and this elderly gentleman, 70, 71 years old, tapped him on the shoulder and said, those are the most amazing line drives that I have ever seen. And Parker said, thank you. He was polite. He didn't think much of it. But then about 15 minutes later, he turned around. There was 20 young kids all circling and some parents circling the 71-year-old man. And Parker turned to one of the coaches and said, who's that guy? And the coach gave him this look and said, that's Pie Trainer. He's the greatest Pirate of all time.
Third baseman.
So there was, yeah. So there was already a sense that Parker was coming up next. And I think Clemente had taken that and taken Parker under his wing. And basically, you know, Parker was drafted in the 14th round. And again, as I mentioned, he was a catcher. But his first workout with the Pirates in Florida, they basically took his catcher's mitt, his beloved catcher's mitt, and threw it away, said, you're never using that again. And they stuck him in the outfield.
Yeah, some of the great stories involve the teammates, Phil Garner. And, of course, Doc Ellis in the famous game he had against the Cincinnati Reds. And Dave Parker explains it. Briefly tell us about it, because I've used this on the show before. Doc Ellis said that he didn't like the Reds and he didn't like the playoff the year before. And when he saw the Reds, he was going to hit every one of them. And he almost did it.
He almost did it. And he was friends with a couple of guys. He shared an agent with Joe Morgan and Ken Griffey and George Foster. But, you know, for the most part, he was upset that the Pirates had lost to the Reds in 1970 in the NLCS. They lost to the Reds in the 72 NLCS. And they didn't even make the playoffs in 73. So Doc Ellis was a little annoyed because, you know, after 71, there was an expectation that they were the best team in the National League. And to see the Reds becoming somewhat chummy with some of the Pirates players really irked him. And he had told a number of players that he was going to hit a bunch of the Reds players as soon as he got the opportunity to do so. I mean, Kurt Bavakwa didn't believe him, and they had they bet a steak dinner over it. And Doc came into the dugout that night and said, I'm gonna do it. And Parker just had watched it, and it was just incredible how it went down.
Well, and he did do it, and then sat down on the bench and said, Chateaubriand. And I like that part of the book. It's really a very charming book. It really is. But you can't tell the Dave Parker story, and he was a tremendous ball player, tremendous, without what happened in society and what happened in baseball, and to him with the drug trials of the early 80s, and that is in the book as well. Tell us about it.
Well, we were beginning to figure out how we wanted to open the book. And I have such a an affection for certain writers like Jeff Perlman and Howard Bryant. And Howard Bryant always talks about how it's so important to have an amazing opening line. And nobody, with the exception of maybe one or two writers, has ever been able to really figure out the relationship between Pete Rose and Dave Parker. It is significant, and it really was a deep friendship for many years. And what happened was Parker felt so regretful because what people don't remember is that the drug trials began for Parker. He was set to, you know, testify on the night that Pete Rose was set to break the hit record. So in many ways, Parker was almost being a distraction from what was going on with Pete Rose. And Parker felt very bad about that. And that's when we talked about it. Parker said, you know, we should start the book off doing something pretty, you know, substantial. And that basically Parker says, "I'm sorry, Pete," to the man who basically made the most, you know, popular or not popular, but famous apology in baseball history, that Parker apologizes to that guy. And that's how we decided to start the book.
How does he deal with the fact of the drugs that he used and the taint on baseball? For the number of Keith Hernandez, Tim Raines, there are a number of names in there as well. How does he handle that with you?
I mean, we handle it very in sort of a literary fashion. I mean, there are so many books where players have been felled by narcotics and drugs and whatnot. And it's something we didn't want to really retrace those steps, but we did. He did want to admit what he went through, and he wanted Cobra to be a historical document of the times. Parker wanted Cobra to be the definitive look at black baseball, the peak of black baseball. And, you know, at baseball's peak, it was 28% of the rosters were black players. Now it's closer to 7 or 8. And Parker wanted to document those times, what they were like, very specifically, both on and especially off the field.
Well, you did a great job telling the story. Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. He was very close with his agent. His agent had a very influential part of his life, and he just passed away, I understand.
Yeah, that was Tom Rich. He was one of the first player agents. He had initially begun representing Doc Ellis in 1970, and then from there, Doc introduced him to Manny Sanguian, that he began representing him in 72, 73. And from there, they introduced him to Joe Morgan and Ken Griffey and George Foster. And then ultimately, he was representing J.R. Richard, Bob Watson on the Astros, Cesar Cedeno on the Astros. And he really made his way around the league. And as free agency blossomed in 1976, Parker remained one of the few holdouts who didn't have an agent. And at a certain point, Parker was looking around and he was being almost teased by these other superstar players saying, "Are you crazy?" Because what had happened with Parker was he had signed an extension in early 1977. And all these other superstar players were basically like, "Are you crazy? We're all going to get paid. We're all going to get rich. What are you doing?" And Parker realized that that maybe he had signed too soon. And especially when the Pirates traded his emerging best friend, Mitch Page, that's when things really rolled up and he realized he needed representation.
Well, Tom Rich did a great job with him. The book is Cobra. Dave Jordan is our guest here. When I think of Dave Parker, I think of the hits, the home runs, the great athlete, the speed, the arm, and everything else. And to me, he's a Hall of Famer. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Do you ever thought as to why? Does he have a thought as to why, and does it irk him at all?
I mean, he's gotten to the point where Dave Parker can go to any major league function, and a guy like Dave Winfield sees him as a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. You know, the late Joe Morgan saw him as a Hall of Famer. Ollie Robin Yount, Ozzie Smith, they all see him as a Hall of Famer. So when he walks into that room, he is a colleague of sorts. And that's kind of, he wakes up tomorrow, he knows he's the Cobra. He wakes up tomorrow, he knows he was one of the most talented baseball players in the 1970s, if not the most talented. I mean, really, Dave Parker possesses a holistic resume that surpasses the burden of proof for enshrinement in the Hall of Fame. And it's not just about what a lot of people, when they look at basic numbers, they don't realize that to determine what was always decided for the Hall of Fame, there are 6 metrics to determine whether somebody's a Hall of Famer or not. And it's not just what they call the playing record. It's the playing ability. It's the effect that you had on your team and the teams you played for and the teammates around you. And there are a slew of so many of talented ball players, whether it's Eric Davis, the great Cal Daniels, Gary Sheffield. These were guys that, you know, Barry Larkin. When Barry Larkin was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he basically had Parker come with him and sit up front. And when Barry Larkin gave his speech, he pointed to Dave Parker and said, "This is one of the reasons why I'm here."
Well, beautiful story. There's one line that you have written here. "What becomes crystal clear on every single page is that we should all have a brother like the great Dave Parker." Well, Dave, the book is terrific. It comes across so well, a well-written baseball story, but you get to know Dave Parker as a man, and you appreciate everything that he went through and the racism and everything else that he had to deal with. So my last question is, if you learn one thing that you didn't know about Dave Parker that you want people to take when they read this book, take away from it, what would it be?
He's such a good dude. And I spoke with about, you know, in terms of doing fact checking and whatnot, I spoke with about 75 different players, coaches, high school teammates, high school teachers, his guidance counselor, managers, his agent, obviously, and base and executives. And they all said the same thing, that he was the ultimate teammate. And he was the ultimate team guy. And he's just as good as a lot of people would want him to be.
Well, great story. Great story. We support our local independent bookstores up in Montclair. David at the Book Tree. I'm sure you can get it on all the outlets. It's a Nebraska University publication. Dave, I appreciate you being on. It's a good one. I love the John DeAquisto book, and this is very similar. You just read a baseball story, and you feel like you're sitting in the dugout with him. So congratulations.
Marty, thank you so much. It was so great to be here.
Yeah, we love having you on. That is Dave Jordan. Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. More coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5 FM, the sports leader.